Hey, it's Tuesday. Time for our Tuesdays with Tom segment, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Hey, Tom, days like this, you are the talk of town. My gosh, how beautiful, huh?
It's gorgeous, Anna. Do you know that our low temperature last night was 65? That's the warmest low temperature since back in September. So, this is really a treat. And it comes after three rather chilly weeks around here. So, what a nice change. It gives us hope that spring really is on the way. And, of course, our vegetation tells us that anyway. So it's beautiful. Yeah.
I was noticing here, we've had such swings as advertised. April has brought, my gosh, think about what we've seen. And this is, no different, that we're kind of got a little bit of another roller coaster ride as I look at your 7-day.
Yeah, it's going to turn cool again later in the week, actually as early as Wednesday. The winds will come off the lake. That'll really drop the temps. But then the weekend comes on and we begin to warm up again. So we're kind of seesawing back and forth between this warmer air and the cool air. And, of course, that's a particular issue around here because it takes a little while for the lake to warm up. Water warms more slowly than the air over it. And as a result of that, you get these chilly lake breezes every time you turn a wind northeast. And that literally, Anna, can make produce a 30 to 40 degree temperature swing, which is what we saw. By the way, do you know the transition from the chilly air on Sunday with its 40 degree highs to yesterday's 79? That was like moving in one 24-hour period from mid-March to mid-June. It also, and this I credit my producer Bill Snyder and Mark Carroll, who is a meteorologist who works on our team, they looked at the record books and they found out that's the biggest one-day temperature increase in an April around here since back in 1978. So, this is pretty interesting stuff that we've got going on around here.
Yeah. True story, my 9-year-old daughter, Gabby, was reading that at breakfast this morning and informing me about it. I said, what did you say? And she was reading from your weather blog on the WGN Channel 9. She loves it, and she was reading that exact stat. And I said, oh, my gosh, that is startling, just startling to think about it.
It's amazing. It's a more than 30-degree temperature swing. We put these maps up that show the 24-hour temperature change, and it's not very often you show a map that shows 30 to 40-degree increases in just 24 hours' time. I mean, the difference yesterday, Monday, between the morning and the afternoon was dramatic. Mm-hmm. And then we had those near 50-mile-an-hour winds that came in here and blew the warm air in. And, of course, that's the way to warm up. Get the air to blow the warm air in from a region where the sun's more direct and they get more heating, and we warm up in the process. So it's just beautiful. I heard, by the way, from one of my friends who keeps me posted. He farms down in Will County. And, our farmers are a bit concerned about how dry it is. They're happy to get out in the fields and do the field work because planting season is underway. But boy, Anna, are we dry. We've had less than a quarter of the normal April rain. We've had just over a quarter of the spring rain around here. And even year-to-date, we're running only 57% of our normal rain. It is drier now than it was going into the drought year of 1988, which also was a hot summer. Because interestingly enough, if you don't have a lot of soil moisture, that's a critical factor in how much you warm up as you get into the summer. If it's been a wet spring, the soil is wet going into the summer, and any heating over it brings the moisture back into the air, makes clouds and showers, and restrains the warming. But if the soil is dry, as it is now, then you can really warm up over that. So we may be laying the groundwork for a hot summer around here, unless we start getting some moisture.
Yeah, that's interesting to think about that. A hot summer. I know right now hot seems really great, and today seems absolutely perfect. People are talking about putting on their Bermuda shorts. They're grilling out. I mean, this is like summer in April. It's really cool to see. I wonder, Tom, do you ever get thank you notes when the weather's really nice? I mean, we know, you're not in control of the weather, but you get so much mail, and I wonder, what do people say? Do they often attribute you as having some power and control over the weather? Because I do.
Oh, Anna, I'll tell you, I get a kick out of it. Those of us who talk about the weather are so associated with it, sometimes people kid us about having some influence over it. We don't, of course. I mean, we look on like everybody else. We just do it with a lot of science and technology, that's all. And these amazing models that allow us to predict where the atmosphere is going. And by the way, an interesting benchmark yesterday, and in that regard, the Weather Service is developing a new approach toward modeling. They're going to bring the private sector, industry, and academia all together and open up the field to the improvements in our computer forecast models. And the hope is this will lead to further increases in accuracy and do it more quickly. And they'll be able to integrate these changes more quickly into the operational daily operational activities of the Weather Service and all of us who forecast the weather. So we'll be the beneficiaries of improving modeling. And it's really a neat approach. So I think that's kind of interesting. They announced yesterday as part of this, NOAA, the parent government agency of the National Weather Service. NOAA stands for National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It's in the Commerce Department of the federal government. But they are going to triple supercomputing speed so that we can run ever more precise models that get down to smaller and smaller features of the atmosphere. And that will, over the long run, continue to improve accuracy. So it's pretty exciting.
That is exciting. What did you call it? EPIC? It's the EPIC system?
That's right. Yes, mm-hmm. EPIC. And and they announced that Raytheon Corporation will be one of the private partners. They have expertise in software development and computers, which is absolutely essential because the revolution that's we've undergone in meteorology and in climate modeling is largely due to, you know, the computing capability we've got. And the hope is what they're aiming for is what's called a unified model. This would be a single model that could be run in for timescales of a couple of days or out to whole seasons ahead. And so it has not only day-to-day weather forecasting applications, but it will improve our climate models as well that help us know where we're going to go with the atmosphere. So it's quite an interesting and ambitious project. And I think it's really great.
Sounds like it.
We've always in this country been leaders in scientific thought and and research, and this continues it in the atmospheric arena.
How exciting is that? Hey, Tom, hang on a second. We're going to check traffic and then more with Tom Skilling on our Tuesdays with Tom segment, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Back with Tom Skilling now here, our Tuesdays with Tom segment. And Tom, you're mentioning that this really cool new system that is being unveiled called EPIC. I guess it's going to bring all the best and brightest minds in academia and government and all these folks together to predict out a little further, even a whole season ahead, you said. Would that be the kind of thing we could use right now to predict what our summer would look like in terms of drought conditions and heat and that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. And it should be pointed out, we're doing that right now, Anna. The hope is to even improve these models. You'll never get to the point in weather forecasting that we can give you day-to-day forecasts a season ahead of time. What you what we can do, and do it with skill, is look at general upper air patterns and all and understand the steering currents that are going to drive the weather a season ahead. And when you do that, you get a pretty good insight into whether or not a season may be colder than normal or warmer than normal. We can't predict individual heat waves or cold waves, but we can predict the possibility of them occurring. And so this has great applications. You can approach, preparations for floods and storms and so forth, or for cold or extreme heat, much better if you have an insight into the fact they may occur. And that's the hope, that we improve these models. And this has been an ongoing process, and we have improved the models. It's incredible. We have the same accuracy at day six that we used to have at day two. And that's all happened in just a couple decades' time. So the changes are slow, they're gradual, but they're steady and very obvious and quantifiable, and that's good.
It seems to be there's such a good reason for the folks in the scientific community and the academic communities, all and government too, all around the world, to be collaborative. And it seems to me, as an outsider, in the weather world that that is the case. You share data, you share information. I don't know if it's entirely easy to do so, but I think in this age of technology that that gets easier all the time.
Oh, you know, it's amazing. These weather satellites that we have stationed over the equator, there are lower orbiting ones that move pole to pole. They are able to send, they're also communication vehicles, if you will. In other words, our satellite data is available to the rest of the world, and their satellite data and pictures and images are available to us. That's the way we can run these global models on how the weather is going to go on. The only time that there's been a disruption in us talking to one another, even governments with whom we have disagreements and all, the meteorological community is talking to us and we're talking to them because we need their data the way they need ours. And so there's a global exchange of information that really is something. The only time that's not happened has been in times of war. When we had the Middle East conflicts, for instance, they shut down weather data. We predicted our models what would happen in the war zone, but they cut off, you know, reports to us and vice versa. The fear was that chemical weapons might be used, and therefore winds are very important. And they didn't want to give away information that might, you know, help in the use of those. Mm-hmm. And we don't want those used. So, but that's the only time there's been an interruption, and it's usually been temporary. So that's
really good thing. Hey, Tom, before we take a look out at what's coming, I just want to ask you something. I know you get a ton of mail, and you post some of it on your Facebook page and on the WGN-TV website, too. People send you pictures, weather pictures. I don't know if you got any pink. Did you get any pink moon pictures from last night?
Oh, and they're marvelous, Anna. The caliber of the quality of the pictures we get never ceases to amaze me. But yes, we've gotten a lot of supermoon pictures, and they've been spectacular. Did you see it, by the way?
I couldn't. No, it was just a little cloudy where I was, and I couldn't see it. But I did see some of the beautiful pictures.
I know they really are. It's amazing. I had one of our area farmers. Had one of the Weather Service balloons that we launch twice a day all over the world, and we do it in this country too. They landed on his farm, and he sent me a picture of this little payload of instruments. It's a little box in which they have a thermistor and a hygrister and a aneroid barometer, and they take humidity, temperature, and barometric pressure readings. And by tracking them, we can figure out what the winds are as these balloons ascend through the atmosphere. And so one of these things landed. They start out with a balloon that's 8 feet in diameter, and as it ascends through the atmosphere, because the pressure drops, the balloon gets bigger and bigger, and finally up around 120,000 feet, these balloons have grown to be 20 feet or more in diameter. And finally, the balloon breaks, and there's hydrogen in that balloon, which is the gas that makes the balloon buoyant. And so the hydrogen immediately escapes, and the balloon falls back to Earth along with the little payload of instruments, and there's a little parachute that opens to lower it to the Earth so it doesn't hit anybody on the head. But every now and then, these wind up coming down in somebody's field. I'd never gotten a picture of one of these things after they had landed until this one of our farmers sent me that, and it was really interesting. He was wondering what it was.
How about that? You don't see them all that often, I guess.
No. They're launched twice a day from about 70-some sites around the United States, but we do it globally all at the same time, and this is provides valuable, invaluable information that goes into our computer models. So here it was, and on the side of the little instrument payload, it's about the size of a cereal box. Uh-huh. It says, this is a weather probe, and it's not hazardous in any way, shape, or form, so don't be afraid of it. And just dispose of it, you know, carefully. It used to be they ask you to take it to a post office, and it would be sent back to the Weather Service. But it's more expensive to mail it back than it is to dispose of it. So they did away with that.
So just take a picture of it and send it to you, Tom Skilling, on your Facebook page. And people, we can learn more about weather through that. Hey, Tom, I just about a minute left here, but tell us what's on the way next, because there is a lot going on, it looks like, from your 7 day.
Yeah, this day will produce the warmest temperature in 7 months around here, the warmest temperature of the year, the first 80 in almost 3 weeks. So we look for mid-80s today, but tomorrow will turn noticeably cooler. Winds will turn northeast. Clouds gather tonight, hopefully to produce some showers and maybe even a thunderstorm. And tomorrow there could be a few showers from the clouds. It won't be a continuous rain, and those showers could linger into Thursday morning. Then the rains clear out, but a strong north wind blows, so it's going to be chilly or cool on Thursday and Friday. And then Saturday, we turn the winds around to the south, and we do about the same thing we just done in the last couple of days, so that by Sunday, we ought to be up in the mid and upper 70s again around here. So how about that? This is the weekend, I believe, where the harbors open in Chicago.
Yeah.
So our mariners will be getting ready, and you'll see the boats start showing up in the harbors. I think I'm right on that. Check me on that.
I think so, too. I will check that out, Tom, for sure, because it does feel as if this is the time of year. And it's certainly, we're all ready to get outside and spend a lot more time outside.
Yes.
So it's going to be fun. I hope you get to get outside, too, Tom. Do you have any plans?
You know what? I've got the home weather office window wide open here, and beautiful south winds are blowing through. So I have kind of, what would you call it? You know, the outdoor experience indoors. That's about as close as I can get because I've got to do work. But,
the indoor-outdoor. Oh, yeah. I mean, I live for weather like that. I just do. I do. And it's you know, it's nice. You're right. You get the work done, and then you do something to take it in, although it sounds like nice stuff is just around the corner for us anyway, too, as we think about May and what can happen there. So, awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday with the windows open.
You too, Anna. Good to talk to you as always, and I look forward to next Tuesday. We'll talk then.
We'll talk then. Thank you, Tom. Tom Skilling, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. It's time for the news at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.